GHRT Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington Team, your home sold guaranteed realty. Find out what your home is worth online instantly at LaughlinWolfingtonRealty.com. This is the George Hale Rick Tyler Show, and he is a rabble rouser. He rouses rabbles, and then he comes in every Wednesday and sits with us and tells it like it is. Jim LeBrecq, CMS or Tech Advisor on Energy. Jim is behind the bulletproof glass in spacious Studio 7A for the George Hale Rick Tyler Show this morning. You say there's energy legislation chaos in the capital of the state of Maine, sir?
Yes, the big solar sales scam hearings are continuing on. I now consider those solar
sales scam hearings.
I now
can we try that tongue twister for a moment?
Solar scale scams hearing.
Tell us how it's done, George. Solar scale scams. So no, solar's solar.
Well, let me break it down this way then.
I want to hear George say it first. Okay,
go for it, George.
What is it?
The solar sales scam hearings. Solar sales scam hearings. One scam. No, I guess there are multiple scams, according to you, Jim.
Oh, yeah. Or you could better known as the great 1711 Ponzi scheme of the century.
If you downloaded our app in the Apple App Store and Google Play, hit the talk back button and see if you can say the tongue twister that Jim has now presented to us. The solar sales scams. Solar sales scams.
We're going to sound like that guy with the pot pies on Dysart.
Buttery here. Flaky Christ. Right. Late Mr. Palmer.
There you go.
Yahoo.
So energy legislation is starting to unravel. It's in chaos now. And it's apparent by now you see things getting a little feisty. I enjoyed watching Senator Matt Harrington go at it with one of the solar companies at the hearing yesterday, and Matt Harrington got shot down by the chair, saying, "Oh, we don't debate things here. We'll have to save that for the workshop." But at least he got up, and first time I've seen anybody get up there and start pushing back really hard. So congratulations to Matt, and where's the rest of the team? Emergency legislation is still prevalent down there. They're still violating our constitutional rights. And like LD 1711 and all of these and others, all these unconstitutional bills are really taxes. And they are unconstitutionally taxing people like McCrum's up there in northern Maine at the factory.
Don't say north, it's Washburn. Call it like it is.
North of here. $57,500 a month. You know, you've got all these companies, you know, the pizza shop down here in Hamden that we talked about one time on the radio. Was it 400 and something?
R&K?
R&K, yeah. Yep, R&K. They had $400 and something dollars a month. All of this is a tax, and they're being taxed. They're being forced to give up those revenues to someone else unconstitutionally.
By the way, a listener had a question on that point, and I just wanted, I thought I knew the answer on this. This person was under the impression that if you're paying a public policy charge on your power bill from either Versant, don't say Versant, please, people, or Central Maine Power, okay, that meant that you were actually participating in net energy billing and you had a solar panel on your home. These people were under the impression that the reason McCrum's was paying this fee is because they had solar panels up on their factory. The reason Milo Chip was paying the fee is because they had solar panels up on their factory. Same with R&K. Jim, do you want to set those people straight?
Yeah, no, they have no solar panels. They're paying for somebody else's solar panels. Stop and think about it. How would you like to invest here in Maine in business and then you get slammed with such high rates? Now, part of that is a couple other charges like, storm charges and stuff. Yeah. But the cost of the solar is going to continue to go up. So where they're charging these people by... The only reason why they're charging him is because they violated the Constitution. It's a wrongful taking of these tax dollars. And so I think that's a really good a really good legal case. And even if it was legal, the public does not receive just compensation for the taxes extracted from them, even if it was legal. You know, there's no way. Now, they did talk about that. Senator Nicole Grawski had a bill, and she did mention that that the amount of money that these people were getting for their solar energy was not just, and it had to be cut. And she has a bill where it could cut it in less than half to like 9 cents a kilowatt hour. And the problem down there was that everybody seems to want to be concerned about, oh, we can't cut all this illegal money going to the solar people. You know, they invested in business, and we have to keep business stable here. You can't change the rules. Well, let me tell you, the rules were changed for every damn business here in the state. It was changed for every single person that pays a meter, and it was changed for everybody that bought anything in the state, because whatever they bought, they had to pay extra to reflect the cost of these scammers that are sucking all these solar dollars out of our pocket.
This kind of crosses a line with something you've shared with us before, but people who own seasonal camps are getting a public policy charge on their power bills, albeit it might be minimal because of the amount of juice that they're sucking through lines because they're shut down for maybe 8 months out of the year. But in the past, you've talked to us about some concerns that maybe those who have meters on their camps should be paying a little bit more.
They should be paying a lot more. That actually, I tried at the very last of the LePage administration to get a fixed charge program going. So the cost of all our power lines and maintaining that every year is a fixed cost. Doesn't matter how much electricity you put through the lines, the cost to maintain those poles and wires that fall on, trees that fall on wires and fix them, and the amortization of poles and transformers and wire and all that stuff is fixed. It's the same cost no matter how many electrons go through. So fixed cost ought to be reflected by a fixed charge for everybody, so everybody pays their share of what it costs to, you know, provide those services. The variable part should be the amount of electricity it uses. You know, you use more electricity, you just pay more electricity. And by doing that, then camps would be paying more than like $13 a month. You know, I don't think any you or George would be willing to invest in all the engineering and of a power line going down through camp roads and all the surveying and all the legal work for easements and put up all the construction of all those lines and transformers and meters and take care of the billing every single month. And if a tree falls on a line at 3 o'clock in the morning, you got to be out there to fix it. If that's all we're going to give you is $13 a month, you know, that's a very bad deal for whoever has to invest. And who is paying for that is the people in Section 8 housing, you know, that have to turn their oven on to get heat in the wintertime because they can't afford oil. Mm. Now, it's not a good, equitable system. We All right. need to have that fixed cost.
I took you down a rabbit hole there right. with that. But back to the chaos of energy legislation in Augusta. Is anything going to get done this session?
Something will get done. But again, it's the it's back to the legislators. I'm talking about Republicans here now. Democrats, just forget them. I mean, they'll violate your rights all day long. Republicans shouldn't be, but Republicans are gutless. They are not bringing those hard-hitting facts. They shouldn't even be discussing these bills other than it's unconstitutional, it's unlawful, you're taxing my constituents unlawfully, and I'm not going to stand for it. And they are dead silent. They don't dare raise it. We need people with more guts down there on the Republican side to start raising these issues. And that isn't happening. The lead on the Energy Committee should stand up, and he should be pounding the table and demanding that this that these bills get, like 1860 last week, the bill that Senator Lawrence put in. Again, it's another bill to raise revenue for two big solar projects that are going to get these exorbitant costs put into their pockets, right? That's an unconstitutional bill based on an unconstitutional foundation, and say nothing. And that's teeing me right off.
Well, as of now, the 132nd, there are a whole bunch of energy bills. I don't follow them like you do. The one I was kind of interested in a while back was 204.
204.
That was the one that would reduce the cost of electricity by removing the 100 megawatt limit on renewable. What happened to that
one? Good Lord, if there is any piece of legislation that causes us to get out the GHRT duct tape and wrap it around our heads.
Well, that was Jeff Timberlake, Russell Black, Matthew Harrington on that bill.
It's useless now. They get the 1,200 megawatt line down through here, and we're not going to, Maine is not going to be able to use any absorbent amount of electricity coming from hydro. Now, we're just not a big enough energy user. 100 megawatts, you're not going to build a power line for 100 megawatts, all right? That's why they put it down to that level. Oh, yeah, you can build it as long as it's under 100 megawatts. That's because it costs the same amount as if you still have to clear the same amount of land, still have to go through all the same legal cost and everything associated with that. If you only have 100 megawatts, then you have only 100 megawatts of electricity passing through that line to amortize that cost. If you have 500 megawatts, then it's five times more cost effective. And if you have 1,200 megawatts, it's 12 times more cost effective. So cost effectiveness for a small line to feed Maine is not going to be a real viable option.
Okay, you're crushing some hopes right now. Because there are some people that hope that maybe if we lift that green energy cap, we could flood Maine and flood New England and make some deal with our Canadian neighbors. And I know it's tenuous right now. We'll get over it eventually. But we could flood New England with the power that we need and bring these crazy prices down.
Yeah, we should have in the late 80s had this power coming down from Canada, which is now the NECEC line. And it should have been through the public utilities, and it should have been feeding most of Maine. But that took the way of politics instead of some rationale. There's not a lot of rationale down there in Augusta.
So that ship has sailed, the window's closed?
I wouldn't say it's closed, but I don't see any real options here. Maybe there is that I don't know about because
we don't have the lines to get that power in here.
Oh, we don't. I look at it as a cost issue, right? If you say I can only feed Maine another 100 megawatts, then you just can't justify all that cost of bringing down a line for just 100 megawatts.
So the point is, and again, ENFJ, I got to talk it out to understand it, because now I'm getting text messages from people asking the same thing. We do not have the existing necessary infrastructure to import that hydropower from Quebec into our states.
There's no lines between. They have to put in. They have to build up the system like they did at the for the NECEC.
Okay,
you just don't. You got to clear woods and you got to bring a line down.
But our existing infrastructure would not allow it.
Yeah.
Huh.
I don't see it working its way. You can't put any more on the NECEC line. That line's all accounted for. So we'll see.
You just woke some people up.
Maybe some. So before that 1,200 megawatt line went in, then we could have taken a 1,200 megawatt line ourselves like we tried doing, taken off what we need and give the rest to the grid. But that option just doesn't seem to be it seems to be closed out here.
That electric ship has sailed.
Right.
GHRT Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington Team, your home sold guaranteed realty. Find out what your home is worth online instantly at LaughlinWolfingtonRealty.com.